episode with politics and everything in between. I am your humble, gracious host, Mr. Mother. And we, today, are going to be talking about the cost of higher education. Well, I'm going to be talking about that, not we. You can listen out, because this isn't a common show. Before I start, I've already put this show up. That was just me rambling. This show is not me, just me rambling. It's me rambling on just one topic. So the awkward segue is me talking like I'm in a being held hostage. That's not the way I talk. I'm still sitting on my microphone because I've had terrible success. Terrible microphones and their sound quality. And I finally have, a fantastic microphone that I can use. So I'm using that. And it's my go-to microphone now, and it's accessible for what I want to do with this. But I think that the point that I want to strike on before I get into the topic is that, just before we start this, what I'm about to say, and I don't think this needs explanation, but I'll just explain it in a simple term. And by we, I mean the millennials. You listening, millennials? We are fucked. And let me explain. Ronald Reagan destroyed cheap and or free college. He's been an enemy of that since he was the governor of California in the late 50s and early 60s. Ronald Reagan hated free college. And so he got rid of it while he was governor of California. And then he became president about 20 years later and helped get rid of it, along with the help of his education department, helped get rid of it nationally. And for 30 years, you saw a reliance of students going to college, who suddenly the price became skyrocketed. You know, you would go from $2,500 maybe a semester or a year at some places, $5,000. Like, the most expensive would probably would have been $7,000. Like, that's like just like $10,000, like Ivy League or something. And I believe that's something that the costs were back then. You went from that to suddenly it just kept ballooning, and it kept ballooning, and then surpassed 10,000, and it surpassed 20,000, and it surpassed 30,000. You know, state universities, they went up. State universities, you would go, especially in state, really cheap. Now, if I were to go to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, it's going to cost me over 30,000, and I'm an in-state resident. I can't imagine what it costs for someone from Nebraska wants to go there. But the point is, we have made college so unaffordable to the point where you have one of two things happening. One, you're seeing a huge rise in community college attendance, because community college still is at the price point that regular college should be. And we've even seen that rise. We've seen students rely on community college because they just can't, they or their families can't afford a four-year school. Or two, you just see them not going to college altogether and finding their way, you know, into technical fields or, you know, other works. You know, there's the UnCollege thing, which is an organization that encourages kids that they don't need a college degree to be successful in life, that you can make $100,000 a year doing something. I don't know what they advocate for them to do. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying it's a smart idea. I'm not saying it's a stupid idea. Good for you. If that's what you feel, you feel you need a college, that's fine. You just be making $1 million less as opposed to those who are going to college, but that's not the deal. But what you're already seeing is the attendance rates go down. People can't afford it. We've made it unaffordable. And of course, we're doing nothing about it because in the past 3 years we had a gridlock. We had gridlock. Congress and Congress were never getting anything done, and of course, if they want to get something done, it's a fucking interest rate. I'm so sick of this debate, this conversation of it on the national news, of it online, of the reporters, you know, the political who are writing about this. I'm so sick of this being, well, you know, they can take out a loan at a 3.7 interest rate. Fuck you. I'm going to take a $30,000 loan, and I have to pay 3.7% back. I have to pay, you know, $300. First of all, it doesn't help that the jobs market is crap, because it is. The job market is shit for college graduates. You see more college graduates go home to live with their parents because they can't even get a job or let alone get a freaking house or an apartment. And so you're expecting them to take out a loan for a school that's expensive for them to get an education, and they have to go 4 years. And even if they have a scholarship, they still have to take out a loan because sometimes a scholarship, a lot of times, for many have a scholarship, it doesn't cover enough. And so what happens? What happens is you saddle them with that. You saddle them with that. And it doesn't help that the cost of college has gone up over 1,000%. It is the only public good that has gone up and is as expensive. It is the only grossly expensive public good in this country. And it is the only one in this country that is for profit, where the government does not really put their hands in it other than saying, here, we're going to give you $4,000 off your price. Because that's what a staff, unfortunately, a staffer loan is. It's basically like taking 5% off. That's what it is. A subsidized staff loan, good. You get 4,000% off. You don't have to pay it back. Good for you. So on top of it, you're taking out private loans, and then you're taking out, you know, for some, you're taking out private loans, and then for some, you're taking out not only the staff loans, subsidized, all of those. And then you're taking out a Parent PLUS loan because you can afford it. You're not going to be able to afford it. You're going to have your parents help you. Well, that's what happens. If the middle class doesn't have money, which they don't, the middle class is continuing to be shafted, and especially in this area, the middle class families can't afford to send their kids to college, so they take out loans. The problem is that, you know, they take out loans, and once they graduate, and after that six-month deferment, they have to pay it back. They're paying it back like, some pay it back like at a fucking 6-7% interest. They're paying $600 a month. They're not. You know, they're lucky if they have a job. And if they have a job, I bet you they're not making that much, but they can afford that $600 a month, so they have to have help from their parents. Well, what happens if their parents don't have money, or they're seniors, or they don't have a full-time job? Then what happens? You go into bankruptcy? Guess what? Can't go into bankruptcy. You cannot go into bankruptcy. You can go into bankruptcy on anything else, but not for your student loan. You cannot go into bankruptcy for your student loan. And then we sit here and we go, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is that we are only, and I sincerely believe this, and I think we need to end this BS right now, honestly. The problem is, we're only talking, I think I said this before, I think I did, but I'm saying it again, and I won't beat this drum until the drum breaks. That's a heavy drum banging. The problem is, we are framing this in an interest rate. We are framing this as 3%, the lowest we're willing to go. Let alone a bank can take out money from the Fed under 1%, but students, our intellectual infrastructure of this country, have to take out a loan at 6.5%? Are we out of fucking minds? You cannot tell me that you can work a job and pay for college right now in the year 2014. Cannot be done. Unless maybe you're going to community college and you have to pay your way through that, it's attainable. We can't even raise the minimum wage. What the hell makes us think we're going to go to college and then be able to take all that money we make at a minimum wage job to pay for that college? It used to be affordable. You can work a summer job and pay for your semester or two semesters of college. You could do that because jobs paid and college was cheap. Guess what? Guess what? Wages are stagnant. So what happens when you have stagnant wages? Well, people aren't making as much money, but their productivity is somehow going up. Not why. I don't know why. And that, you know, 8.5 an hour that you're making, that only comes out to roughly around $15,000 a year. What school do you know costs $15,000 a year? Even if you worked a full year for a full-time job making $8.25 an hour, you still would not have enough money to pay for your semester of college, or your quarter, or whatever college does for the semester or quarter system. And then we're going to put figures at students and talk about, we take this libertarian thing, and we're like, well, if you can't afford it, well, go to a different school, if you can't afford it. You don't have to go to that school. Guess what? I can't go to any school. It's not like there's this, you know, a university, public or private, whatever, that's saying, here, come to our university. It's only $10,000 a year. I don't want to go to a fucking university if that was the case, but it doesn't exist. It does not exist. You know? You cannot send kids to good schools. You can't. Why? Because it costs $50,000 a year. Unless you're a trust fund kid, or unless your parents are enormously wealthy, where they can write a goddamn check to pay for your year of school, you have to take out loans. You know, I think the solution, and there's a very simple solution to this problem. Absolutely. Very simple solution, which is make college affordable or free. Because, and I think John Fugelson had a great quote of this, let's get rid of student loan debt, crushing student loan debt, so we can have our young people have crushing mortgage debt. And then we sit and wonder and go, well, why are young people buying houses? Why are they buying houses at the rates that they used to? Well, because they're paying $600 a month to pay back the student loan that they had to get the goddamn degree, to get the goddamn job, to barely even make it. And then we're going to go, okay. Nobody goes, hey, that's not right. Students are out in the street. You know, in Italy, they were going to raise the cost of their, you know, university tuition, their college tuition, to like, it came out to like $2,000 in U.S. dollars. And what do the students do? First of all, what the students did is something none of our students are doing in this country, which needs to happen. They went in the streets. They protested it. They beat the drum as hard as they could to say, don't charge us anymore for our education. It's very simple. And what happened? They didn't raise the rates. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world is. We kind of just go, college is expensive. Guess I have to accept that. And our students kind of just accept that as if somehow nothing's going to change and we can't change it. It's kind of gross. It's disgusting. It's disgusting the way the banks treat these students. It's disgusting the way the government treats this issue. It's disgusting the way we talk about this issue for people who are sitting in their ivory tower who go, you can afford that school. Just take out a loan. Take out a loan at a 5.5% interest rate or a 6.5% interest rate. I've seen loans where you can get up to 10% on an interest rate. 10%. Jesus Christ. You know, you just can't afford it. College is not affordable. But still, the cost of a college degree in the long run is $1 million more than those who do not have a college degree. That's what a recent study said. $1 million more. Okay. So is the $150,000, $200,000 that you take on in undergrad debt, is that worth it? I think in the short run, we go, no, it isn't, because here I am, you know, either A, I don't have a job, or B, I'm living at home, or C, I have a job, and I'm making only $25,000, $30,000 a year doing whatever the fuck I have for my degree. I don't know. Another problem that you have is you have students who go to college. And I'm not saying that every student who goes to college, who graduates college, is going to have a job or has the right degree, because there are those who graduate and can have a job. If you're in engineering, God bless you, because you're going to have a wealth of jobs and you're going to roll in the dough, buddy. You're going to roll in the dough. Not everyone's supposed to be an engineer. Not everyone aspires to be an engineer. Even though the jobs are in demand, not everyone can do it or can have the capacity to do it mentally or physically or whatever. But there are those who do, and they do well. You know, there are those who do teaching, even though teaching jobs are very scarce. But there are those who graduate with an art history degree or a philosophy degree. And then they come out going, well, I have $150,000 in undergraduate debt, and I don't know what I can do about it. Well, first of all, your mistake was you majored in a degree that doesn't have any jobs and is basically worthless. An art history degree is fucking worthless. I'm sorry. A philosophy degree is practically worthless. Because for, like, one, it's not even like there are people, there's like a few kids who graduate with like philosophy or history degrees. There's like hundreds who do. And then they come out and then they're looking for jobs and they can't find jobs. Because the only job they can fucking take is a teaching job. And even for money teaching jobs, you have to go get your master's. Well, guess what? They have $150,000 in undergrad debt. They can't afford to go to graduate school. If you have the money to go to pay for your undergrad and then go to graduate school, God bless you. You are 0.1% of people. For others, for the regular folks, it's not like that. It's not like that. And so you have the philosophy degree folks, I should say, who come out, you know, with $150,000 in student loan. They're probably living with their parents. They're working at Starbucks. They're looking for philosophy jobs, but they can't. They can't find any teaching jobs. For one philosophy teaching job, there's probably like 10 people competing for it. For one. And it's not like they're in demand, because they're not. College these days is all about being smart, you know. Granted, it's also about doing what you have an interest in, and I agree with that. I'm doing what I have an interest in, and the good news for me is that I can get into a job. I have a chance of getting a job. And I'm not an art history or philosophy major, as you can tell. But, from the government or from the school because they're a victim of their own success. It's like, can you imagine how the baby boomers rep children going into college? Can you imagine what they're thinking? Like, here, I thought we were going to make a country and have a country that was going to be sustainable for the future, but we would be able to watch our kids go to college. And now what? You know, I worked hard, I raised my kid, sent them to school, they go to college, they get in, they go to orientation, and then they give us a bill. And then, somehow they're not going to give us any money. I'm going to get $6,000 left, and we have to pay $18,000, $20,000, $25,000, or $40,000 if you're going to Duke or the University of Chicago, because $62,000 for Duke, $65,000 for Duke. It's sick. It's absolutely sick, and it doesn't help that we can't get anything done in Congress or in the state assemblies about it, because the banks suddenly go, you touch that student loan thing, and we're going to have a problem. You know, but they're kind of there over their shoulders going, say no on the bell, and guess what? You got those 35, 38 Republicans who said no. He said no, because they care more about Jamie Dimon, or they care more about the head of Bank of America than they do the people who elected them to office, the people who make up the backbone of our economy and of the society that we live in, the people who are the most people in the middle class. Most people in this country are in the middle class. We have people who are poor and in poverty. We have people who are rich. Not 1%ers. And yet, when it comes to college, we do nothing. And then we just sort of let another year go by where the Congress colleges goes up and tuition's raised by $1,000, $2,000. And it's raised another $2,000. And other years go by and then we kind of just let them, happen. And I think another thing is we've let these colleges grow so big to the point where they're wielding this just massive power that they can oppose anything. That it's suddenly like do this for us instead of the other way around. Instead of the congressman saying, no, you're going to do this for us. And a lot of these universities feel as though that suddenly they're going to make so much money. Yet, like an NYU can build just a massive sports facility, a massive arts facility. Or DePaul can build a $100 million sports complex arena thing at McCormick Place. They can do that. Oh, boo-hoo, the poor universities. Guess what? You make college affordable, you make it free. Free or affordable, whatever. I'm leaning towards free because college is right. Education is a right. It's not a commodity. We treat it like a commodity. We treat it as if somehow it's the same thing as silver or fucking rice. And then we just sort of let people parrot that. Like, oh, you don't need an education. Education's a commodity. We can do whatever we want. Let the free market decide it. Sorry. The free market can't decide it. Clearly, the free market's decided that people don't have purchasing power to buy shit, let alone go to college, send their kids to college. But these universities, you know, they become so big, the university I go to is very big, they can afford to build things. But what a lot of people don't get is, these universities get hundreds of millions of dollars in endowments. And then they sort of assume or brainwash those who are higher up in government and elsewhere to sort of say, well, well, you make college cheaper, but our endowment money goes away. Guess what? That endowment money is not coming from the federal government. Okay? It's not coming from there. You know? It's not coming. Their endowment money will change bumpkins. If a school makes $500 million and the next day you decide, our school's going to be free, guess how much your endowment money is. $500 million. Because it's not going away. You suddenly won't have to tap into that endowment money. Because, oh, we made college affordable. And, oh, look at all these students who are coming to our school. The horror, the horror. The colleges will not lose the millions they get in donations and from the governments, state and federal. But they get a lot of endowment money. And that endowment money doesn't go away. $62.8 billion, that's how much the federal government, that's how much it will cost to fight every student with a free college education. $62.8 billion when you factor in basically everything the government does for students that they really should just make free or affordable. $62.8 billion we could be used for free college is how much it's going to cost. $62.8 billion. And suddenly, you do that. If Congress right now, tomorrow, if they pass the bill tomorrow, because this is their last week in session, before they go on their well-deserved five-week recess, because they've done so much, they deserve a vacation. If Congress passes the bill tomorrow, someone writes a bill tonight, sends it to committee, and somehow the political process becomes really fast, and tomorrow goes to committees, goes to subcommittees, committees, and then it's called up on the floor, and it's voted, and it passes, and it goes to the Senate, and then the Senate passes it, and goes to the Senate committee, and that committee passes it all tomorrow. It's a very fast political process for just this thing. Senate committee passes it, and then the Senate passes it, like clearing up a buck that passes it. Senator President Clinton signs it that day. If that happened, you will see so much change. You'll see students, first of all, have a burden taken off their backs. You'll see middle-class families be able to contribute more to the economy. What's holding them back is, well, I have two kids in college. Of course. No wonder you're not buying stuff. Because you have two kids who are going to nice schools, who deserve to go to those nice schools. And you have to help them pay for their education. How stupid of us. Are we idiots? Yes, we are when it comes to this issue. We are terrible when it comes to this issue. We're the only country that has this for-profit higher education system. Every other goddamn country sees this as a right. They see it as a good, and they offer it to their students free or affordable. As of last year, there were two countries that had their for-profit higher education system the way it is today. United States and Chile. Guess what Chile had last year? They had elections. They had a candidate, a woman candidate. I don't remember her name, but she's a woman candidate. She ran on free education. Guess who won? The free education woman. Because those in Chile realize that education is important, and that if you have the intellectual infrastructure, you thrive as a country. Suddenly, we, as a country of 300 million, do not realize that our intellectual infrastructure is like our just main infrastructure, like roads and bridges. It's crumbling, and we're doing nothing about it. It's absolutely crumbling. And it's crumbling to the point where it's just going to collapse. And I'm meaning both figuratively and literally. And yes, I'm talking about both our actual infrastructure and our intellectual infrastructure. But our roads and bridges are another topic for another time. But yeah. And so she won. She instituted that system in Chile. And suddenly, there was just one left. And who was that? The United States of America. The United States of America, one of the most developed and one of the richest countries in the world, still doesn't give a shit about its intellectual infrastructure and saddles their kids with tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. We tell them that college isn't affordable, take out a loan. And then we let the banks take care of it, and we let the banks deal with our students, and then, you know, we become indentured to the banks because suddenly the banks are like, yeah, you gotta make a $350 student loan payment. Gotta pay it back at 6.2%. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm out boss, but I am. And then it becomes the banks. The banks take care of it. And not only on top of that, you're paying for your private loans. But for many, you're still owing goddamn money to the government. So you're paying two bills a month. It'd be one thing if we lived in a country that had an economy with jobs where we could make good money to pay that off, but we don't have that because we don't do shit about anything. And so guess what? Little Timmy, not even that's a little anymore, Timmy, you know, graduated Vanderbilt with $105,000 in student loan debt. Timmy is struggling to find a teaching job. Well, Timmy can't afford to go to graduate school, so he has to take a job at Starbucks, making $9 to $10 an hour. Good news is he has health care. He managed to find one company, I should say, that provides their workers with free health care. That's another topic I want to talk to. But he's not making that much to pay that money to pay back the banks. And then somehow you become a victim of everything you've worked for leading up to that. There's no income. There's no disposable income. Because all your money's going towards that. And you have to pay for your shit apartment. When you can have better than that shit apartment, but you have to pay for that shit apartment because you have a $600 a month student loan payment to make. Because somehow, we don't give a shit about the intellectual infrastructure in this country, and we give them shit jobs, and we give them, and then we tell them, you can't buy a house. No, wait 20 years to buy a house. Don't have a family yet. You know? Don't have a family yet because you have to pay back your student loan bill because even though you graduated 15 years ago. Sorry. Can't happen. And you see those who graduated in 2006, 2007. They're still paying off their debt. And then, of course, when there's a comment on the internet, when there's an article on the internet about who wishes to make college affordable, there's always that one fucker who goes on there who goes, well, I worked two jobs and I was able to pay my way through. Good for you. I also want to be able to sleep a little so I don't fall asleep in class. You know, we make it such a burden on our students where they feel guilty about the price. They feel like, I have to have a job. And so you go to class during the day and you sleep it. And then you work at night, and then you have no time to sleep, and so when you go to class the next day, you're practically falling asleep, and then you miss a lot of the lecture, and you can't catch up with the lecture, and then you have a hard time, and then you struggle with class, and then you fall behind, and then you take the midterm, and you don't do well in the midterm, and then you still fall behind, because you're still paying back, you're still, you know, feel the need to have a job and go to school at the same time, and so you're not getting any sleep. And if you're getting sleep, you're only getting 2 hours of sleep, but you have to be at class in the morning. And so you keep falling asleep. And then after the midterm, you keep falling asleep, and you still miss good chunks of the lectures, and then you try to make up the lectures because you struggle one time doing that. Then you go to your peers don't have lots of lectures because they were too busy on Tumblr during class. You get the point? You go to college to get an education. If you're able to have a part-time job, no problem. I'm not chiding people to do that. Absolutely. I'm not lambasting them. Did you do that? Good. But you shouldn't have to take on the burden of going to school for hours at a time and working a job and having to deal with those two stressors at the age of 20. Because then what does that tell you for the future? It tells you that we are going to be overworked and overstressed until the day we die. Because we have a country that doesn't, even if we do get a good job, somehow we work our way up. We're able to work our way through. Essentially, find ourselves a job that pays pretty well. And then even then, even when you still have a good job, guess what happens? Guess what happens? Well, if you're a woman, have fun having a baby. Yeah, have that baby and come back in a week. Yeah, we really don't want to pay you maternity leave. We don't really believe in maternity leave here at Acme Corp. Or sick leave. Sick leave. We need 3 days in advance if you're gonna be sick. I feel a flu coming on Friday. Or pay. If you're a woman, you're not making as much. We will always, unless something's done about it, which I hope something's done in the next 10 years about many of the growing inequalities in this country and about many of the costs of goods in this country and about our income inequality and our lack of disposable income due to that inequality. I hope something's done about that. And until then, we're going to live like this. We're going to have middle-class families suffer. And then we wonder why we have economic crashes. We wonder why we have economic crashes because we help the people who cause them. We help the big banks give, young people shitty mortgages, underwater mortgages, and they're foreclosed upon. We can't offer our goddamn people jobs. We let the corporations deal with everything. And even when the corporations deal with everything, by the time you turn 58, guess what? You're a little too old and making a little too much money. You gotta go. Until you become a 58-year-old struggling to find a job. And then you go, I worked my ass off for how many years? I went to school. I got a job. I worked my way up, if that's the case for you in the corporate world or wherever. And now here I am, 58 years old. I'm not 58. Here I am, 58 years old. And I don't have a job. I'm looking for a job. I've applied to jobs. But I can't. Why? Because they want to hire. If I were to go to and work for, if I get fired from Acme Corp and I want to go to Alex Inc. and I apply for a job there. Okay. Yes, Mr. Alex. Well, we like your credentials. You have a lot of experience. We're not looking really for experience. No, we're looking for a naive douchebag, Wall Street type, fresh out of business school, who we can overwork and underpay. Yeah, see, the kind of experience you have, the kind of work you're going to do, requires $150,000 a year. We don't want to pay you $150,000 a year. We would rather take the business school graduate and pay him $50,000 a year and stress him out. Pay him little and work him hard. Because that's fair in this society. We let people get rich. We let people get rich, and what do they give back to us? We let the job creators get rich. We give them their textbooks. We give them everything they want, because we do. Try to dispute that for me. Oh, the corporate tax rate's too high at 17%. Oh, Jesus, we're complaining about a 17 or a 23% tax on corporations. Boo fucking who? If you're a $40 billion corporation, you can afford it. And even if you have to pay that 23% in taxes, you're left with a shit ton of money. You are left with a That's bullshit. That's the case. And so the point is, we as middle class are always going to get the shaft unless something is done about it. And the one thing I can say for us millennials is, we don't take shit. We don't take this shit. But the problem is that we need to look at the way we're being treated and the inequality that we face and the price of college, and we need to protest. There has to be a protest. There has to be, not a revolution, that's dumb. Dumb shit. Well, what a revolution, because I'm going back apparently. It's dumb to say that. But we need to realize this. And one thing I can say for millennials is we're accepting, and we don't take shit. We see an inequality, we're going to point it out. We don't take homophobia. Gay marriage? I have gay friends. My friend is black. But that's... Yeah. So we millennials can change it. The problem is that we're cynical and apathetic, and we need to change that. First of all, we need to vote, and we don't vote. That's a problem. And I think we need to stop this. 18 to 24-year-olds don't vote, so let's not even try. Let's stop that, because guess what? You'll see a lot of change if you encourage 18 to 24-year-olds to vote. And those organizations that do aren't beating the drum hard enough. I'm looking at you, Mark, to vote. You need to try harder. Everyone needs to try. Every organization that's getting the youth vote is not trying hard enough, and they need to try hard. For these midterms, especially for presidential elections, absolutely. We need turnout in elections. We need turnout in elections not just for millennials, but for everyone. We need to take the cynics and slap them in the face and tell them, no, don't give me this, you know, talking about, oh, politics is corrupt. First of all, you are grossly misinformed if you think every single part of politics is just this one big corruption bash of dogs, like somehow on C-SPAN or fucking, like, you know, like I yield the floor for... To join my friend, the CEO of Walgreens, so I can draft some legislation with him on corporations leaving the country and paying outside tax rates, but still doing business here. Just give us a second while we draft that legislation and send it to committee, and I will debate that. Yes, come on. But we need to wake up those people go, politics is corrupt. I don't like to vote. I don't vote, but I don't like the way things are. Then shut up and vote. You have no excuse. There's no excuse for that. No. There's no excuse for that. But that's how things can change. And we need candidates who are fearless. You know? Hillary Clinton's gonna run. She's not my, like, number one candidate, and I'll probably vote for her. I hope my nose will vote for her. Don't like the fact that she's a Wall Street Democrat. Sorry. I don't like it when my big banks get involved with my politics. Because what you see is there's collusion there. If Jamie Dimon, you know, Hillary Clinton runs, Jamie Dimon gives her $1 million. That would put her with a lot. And I don't really get that much. And I think there's a certain cap. Although, now not on the Citizens United Age. No, they can give as much as they want. Those corporations are people, my friend. There's a certain cap. So if he gives $1 million, you should have had that. But Hillary Clinton will be influenced by that. Because if she does anything, that God forbid will undermine the grip that the big banks have on us. God forbid she undermine that because, I have to protect the future and coffers for the Democrats in my campaign. That's another problem with Citizens United, which is another show. I just said that there's three shows coming on three different topics. That's amazing. But 46 minutes, I think, is enough, and I think I've gotten a lot of the points down that I want to get down. Yeah, I feel better. No, I don't feel better, because it's not like this is, you know, Congress, and what I just said was legislation, and now I'm going to go draft it, and because I'm a congressman,
Yeah, I'm gonna get that bill written up right now after I hit the stop button. Yeah, I'm done after that. That was a good first show. That was a good first show. I'm not gonna okay, that's it. That's the show. That's the 46-minute show. It's not. It can be as long as I want, but 46 minutes I thought was enough for me ranting on that one subject. That's the show for now. Don't know when I'm opening another one. Probably not tomorrow. I don't know. I'll do it when I want it. That's the show for now. I'm Alex Martha. I'm Alex M. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexMB456. That's at AlexMB456. That's really, that's it. Catch you on the flip side.